Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for my friend. I haven't been around for a while, been so busy trying to build this business and take care of all you and give you a better way to use your currency. My friend Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. Anthem, Happy New Year and welcome back, my brother.
Thank you very much, Bubba. Always a pleasure being on the show.
You know, so Anthem, so now, you know, give us, update us on where you are with the business. I mean, you know, obviously you've got a great idea and a great plan. And I know you've been traveling the country worldwide. I've been, you know, following you all over the place. And obviously we've had trouble getting together. So tell us what's going on. Give us an update on AnthemVault.com.
Yeah, we've been super busy, Todd. We've been really evangelizing around a really great base of clients. I mean, we're up over 4,000 accounts, so we're really loved by our core group of clients. And really now what we're doing is we're really pushing forward. So the Anthem Vault is a great way for people to buy, sell, store, gift, and soon pay metal. So I'm actually right now in the great state of Texas. So I'm in Houston, Texas. We have tremendous support here and building more support. We're vying to be the administrator for an act called the Texas Bullion Depository Act. So it's a pretty landmark act that got put into place here in June. And it calls for a few different aspects, and it's very exciting. I'd love to go into it further with you and your listeners. So
please do.
It's very exciting.
Let's hear about it. Can you give us? Yeah. Go ahead. Go for it, baby.
Absolutely. So it's basically a three-pronged bill. In summary, so the first part of the bill calls for roughly $400 million worth of the University of Texas's endowment fund gold to be moved from the custody of the New York Federal Reserve to custodianship physically in the state of Texas. So that's one part. And a second part of the bill calls for a statewide metal depository system whereby people can vault their gold, silver, platinum, palladium, or rhodium is what the bill calls for. And so it's actually protected by the state, Texas state government, against any outside government, quote unquote, confiscating the metal. So I don't think they were thinking Oklahoma or Louisiana or New Mexico. But they have that in law. So basically really sealing the property law right that ultimately states should have jurisdiction over and the federal government. So the third part of the bill is the one I'm, I think, most excited about, and that part calls for a metals payment system. So it's a very, very great because it's for us, because it's a specialty of ours. So you know, our team was the first to build a fully gold-backed a token or Bitcoin, to make gold payable throughout the world in a really efficient way. So, you know, we're excited. We're really focusing the innovation around the state of Texas's act, and we're vying to be the administrator. So, it's great times. It's fun times. It's appreciated that we actually have a jurisdiction in Texas that gets the credit risk issues in the banking system and globally, and how that could eventually affect the payment system. So it's a big deal.
No, that's great, and I understand that. That's one of the things I want to talk to you about. But so I know that your company is, you know, you're issuing, you're allowing and being able to pay through various different methods, and that's really your design of business. And I know that you've got some very big people that accept payment through you guys. How's that all working out? Give us the update on your payment system.
Yeah, so we launched the HIAC, which is a gram of gold that is, you know, basically like a warehouse receipt in effect, but in the form of a cryptographic receipt. So makes gold payable. and easily payable. In August, there was some regulation, or there was kind of some, it wasn't regulation specifically, but it was clarification on existing regulation that said that, our company needed to apply with the federal government as it's a little bit in the woods, but it's called administrator in a money service business designation. And so we went ahead and did that, and we're just getting all of our other ducks in a row, and with any other legal structuring that we have to do, we're just getting everything checked out. I'm very conservative when it comes to making sure that we're complying to the law and the intent of the law. So we're very, very cautious. So we decided to just wait a little bit longer until we relaunch, just until we feel very comfortable, as a company to go ahead and relaunch. So, we're excited about it, but we don't want to ever get ahead of ourselves and ever put our clients at risk or jeopardy because we're acting too aggressively when we're innovating.
So how much regulation is there in what you're doing? Now, we obviously know in markets, stock markets and those, there's brutal regulations. Banking, brutal regulations. How about in what you're doing? What's the regulatory environment like?
Well, it's better than almost any other financial services in the sense that we're at our core a precious metal company. So by designation federally, I mean, the majority, really all of what we do currently is, let people buy, sell, store, gift metal. I mean, all those things really, they all fall under precious metal designation. Or like in the case of gifting, we have e-gift card program, and that falls under stored value card. So, we're actually pretty lucky relative to, say, a bank or a stock brokerage company. But, once you start getting into payments, then, we're not actually facilitating the payments, which also really helps us. So, we're just basically making it possible for gold to be transactable, but we're not actually the ones that are actually facilitating the transactions, the people paying each other. The network is actually doing that. It's one of the genius beauties of how the Bitcoin blockchain works and how this blockchain decentralized clearing system works. So there are certain responsibilities that as the administrator of a token. So we take it seriously. We act very methodically. I like to just feel very, very, very strong assurance that we're acting and within the letter of the law to the best of our ability when you trailblaze. Because when you trailblaze and innovate as a technology company, you do things other people have never done before, like we did with the Hayek. And so it's just a matter of kind of holding serve, basically making sure when we see any kind of reaction or communication coming out of Treasury, that we take it seriously. So Treasury came out in August, just gave a little clarification about what we did in terms of, a metal token. I mean, they didn't specifically say Anthem Vault, they just said generically, but, it was interesting because that ruling came out about 3 months after we launched the Hayek in May. So, it's actually a really great indicator because it indicates that there's enough support that Treasury actually would issue a ruling to get some clarification about a metal token transacting along a decentralized network, which is the clarification and that ruling that Treasury gave. So, it's in a nutshell, you're much more private here than you would be at another facility, in the sense that we do verify all of our clients internally and we hold all that information.
Hold that thought, Mr. Blanchard. Yeah. This is Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. I love what he's got to say because I have a lot of agreement with him and I think that he's doing an unbelievable job. Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com, just fresh off of Fox Business. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to come back with Anthem Blanchard from Anthem Vault right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Something to say. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with my friend, my man. I haven't seen him for a while, but Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. So, Anthem, as we went to break, you were talking about the privacy and the way that you guys operate. So go ahead and finish out that story because it was really interesting, and I want to continue on digging into that a little bit.
So you know, basically in terms of privacy, as a precious metal dealer, we are only required, and we hold to the letter of the law, but you know, we only are required to report if someone sells more than a kilo bar worth of value of gold in a 24-hour period or trading period, business day period, or 950 ounces of silver. We actually are conservative a little bit because the law says a 1,000-ounce COMEX bar. So, basically, 1,000 ounces worth of silver. You know, roughly, you're looking at roughly about $13,000 a day. That is 1099. But anything under that, it is not required to be 1099, and so that we do not 1099 it. So. There might be some really unusual cases where it gets a little bit obscure, but if we think it's a related transaction, we're required to report 1099 that too. So in other words, if it's someone that's selling exactly 2,500, and they say, we ask the client and they say, well, this is all one transaction, but I split it up into four, then technically, that actually wouldn't be reported either because it'd be under the threshold. But let's say it was 15,000 and 15,000 and 15,000 of gold. That'd be a kilo bar is roughly about $35,000 worth of value. So that would be 45,000. That'd be over the threshold. If someone then said that this was related, then we'd have to report that. But there are kind of these nuances that most people don't know about. So it's actually relative to a stock brokerage account or a bank. Where pretty much everything, a little bit of interest can be 1099-able, or stock sell is obviously 1099-able. It is more private, so I think it's the best of those worlds.
Does Bitcoin fall under the same regulation?
Bitcoin does not. Bitcoin itself is kind of, the government's kind of still trying to figure out how to exactly regulate it. I mean, you have two main divisions of Treasury. You have the IRS, which we're all familiar with, and FinCEN, which is their Financial Crimes Enforcement Network arm, which basically is responsible for administering the laws that run through Treasury, like Patriot Act, for example, being the prime one. Bitcoin is basically defined as a commodity, like a property, really, intellectual property, property by IRS. And then it's considered like a kind of a money equivalent, basically, by FinCEN, kind of acknowledging, obviously, the liquidity and the transferability. So it's still such new ground that I think the government's still trying to get its hands around exactly how it wants to regulate. But I will say this, that I've been very pleasantly, not surprised, but just pleasantly happy to see that the U.S. Treasury has really, I think, fostered innovation better than almost any other regulatory body out there, with a few exceptions, maybe like Switzerland. Not clamping down hard on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency companies. I mean, they've had fines, like Ripple Labs got fined, but that's a great case where the company raised millions of dollars. Treasury brought down the fine and was very specific in their statement of fact exactly, what the situation was. And I thought that was a really clear case where Ripple actually, violated because they bought and sold their own virtual token, XRP, Ripples, they call them. So, I mean, it was like $800,000 buying and selling, and they specifically weren't supposed to actually act as an exchanger without being a money service business. So, it's just interesting. So, as bad and draconian as government, and, obviously it is overregulated, we are overregulated, we do have way too many laws that it just makes enforceability impossible in a 24-hour day. you know, it's at the same time, it's nice to kind of be able to actually say something somewhat positive, so which is true.
Well, it's something we can be positive once in a while. I mean, it's all right. But so Bitcoin, now you also clear or take care of Bitcoin as well, right?
Yeah, we do. So we accept Bitcoin. We don't make a market in Bitcoin, which is a very important distinction. So, you know, we don't actually let people buy and sell with metal, because technically that is a money service business activity of another sort that, you know, that basically you need to get state licenses in, you know, specifically for that activity. So, but we accept metal. I mean, we accept Bitcoin for metal, I should say, both at AnthemVault.com. And also, actually, we have a dropship site as well called Amagi Metal. So historically, that's actually been the largest Bitcoin to gold and precious metal dealer in history. So we purchased Amagi in 2015. So that's something that, you know, I definitely, AnthemVault.com, it's very easy to go on and to sign up and to use Bitcoin, or really very popular too there is people will direct withdraw you know, U.S. dollars from their bank account,
right,
cost average it. So you can do it weekly, you can do it monthly, every couple weeks for a pay cycle, and it's an easy way to set it, forget, and be able to save. So, you know, it's not like other subscriptions where you're constantly paying and the money's going out the door. This is, you're taking dollars in your bank account and turning it into real physical, you know, gold and silver. So, and not having to go in with the hassle of having to set yourself reminders and things to do that. So, it's very popular. I'd say about a quarter of our clients actually engage in the cost average plan.
Well, good. And that makes a lot of sense. And that's, you know, I talk to people about that all the time, is that, you know, you don't want to dive in. You want to kind of dollar cost average. So that works out well. So your payment method, which is unique, is you can use like if somebody, one of your clients accepted Bitcoin, you could actually pay them in Bitcoin through another client, right? That is a service that you provide, correct?
We did provide that service. We are going to be providing that kind of service again soon. We're expecting this quarter, but it's not out yet. So we actually have some surprises in store. One thing that we actually did put in place in December, right before Christmas, is an e-gift card. So as you open up an Anthem Vault account, if you want to, let's say, graduation coming up, you could go ahead and buy an e-gift card, I believe up to $2,000 per card. And then, let's say, you know, to your nephew, John Smith, let's say, for example, give John the e-gift card, send him the email with it, and then he can open up an Anthem Vault account and buy metal with it and start saving in metal. And, you know, when he wants to sell, he can sell and receive those proceeds to his bank account. So, you know, that was something that we think is really neat and innovative in the industry. And now we're looking at, yeah, actually being able to say, okay, be able to take these HYEX, these like gold Bitcoin, basically, and be able to enable people to use them and to make gold transactable. So that's something that we plan to relaunch this quarter. So we just wanted to make sure that we got our money service business license with the Treasury, which we have now, and we're just waiting for some other, there's a state license in Nevada that we're waiting to clear called the money transmission license. That's where we're based. So we just probably didn't even really need to be that thorough with it, but I just wanted to, just in case there was ever any question about whether we needed that Nevada transmission license. And we also have some other ideas planned there too, but actually there's one really neat thing that
hold that one really neat thing, Anthem, because we're going to step out of here for a break. But I love, see, this guys, this is what makes Anthem Vault and Anthem Blanchard special. They go the extra mile, that they probably don't have to do everything they do for under the regulatory bodies, because there are some exceptions, but here you go. These guys are making sure that you're taken care of, and that's why we love Anthem Vault and think it's a great place to be, and I think it's a great business model. And of course, we love having Anthem on because he always brings his A game to the Bubba Show. So we love having him on, and we love what he does because he is on top of all of the rules and regulations, which he helps us out with. We are with my good friend, Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com or TheBubbaShow.org and check out some of our articles. And, of course, Anthem also contributes to the Bubba Report, and you always get great stuff there. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. If you miss a show, go to LibertyTalk.fm and you can get it on demand. On that, we'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
You're so delicious. Yes.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Perfect.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Anthem Blanchard from Anthem Vault. And so, Anthem, as we're going to break, you started to get into something with in privacy stuff. And so go ahead and take it away. Take us back.
Yeah. So talking about, we do really cherish our clients' privacy, while at the same time, we also cherish our clients' value, which is why we always make sure that we're very meticulous about following the letter of law. So innovation while sticking with regulation. And so I think our next big example of innovation while following in line with the law is to be able to actually innovate. We're actually doing a pre-sale. We're trying this out as an experiment. We're actually pre-selling lifetime insured storage on these HYACs, the gold-backed Bitcoin, quote-unquote, if you will. So we're going out the gate, we're intending, so lifetime storage for the lifetime, it could be, decades and decades, longer, potentially even, of storage. And so we're charging $9 a HYAC. So for that retail, once we launch, to take gold from Anthem Vault and turn it into these HYACs, these payable, digital gold cash, if you will. So we're actually going to be selling the HYAC, that insured storage part of the HYAC, for 50% off. So instead of $9 per gram, it'll be $4.50 per gram for lifetime storage of that metal. So that's something that we're going to be rolling out here in the next month or so. We're actually, we're calling this token, it's really a coupon. It's a transferable or transactable coupon, calling it a fungi coin, as in fungible. So F-U-N-G-I coin is what we intend to call it. So it's a little bit of a play on words. Bitcoin is very popular in China. China accounts for 80-90% of Bitcoin volume. So mushroom culture is very popular there. And the idea that it's fungible, that it is divisible, just like the Hayek is. So it's going to take a fungi, we're calling them, or fungible coin, fungi coin, and gold in your Anthem Vault account in order to acquire a Hayek. So that's something that it's been very popular in the altcoin and Bitcoin space to do these pre-sales. And so we thought it'd be kind of a neat thing to do before we get all of our comfortable license of Nevada. I just there's a few other things that we just want to make sure, and figured, okay, well, while we're just doing all the finalization, we should continue to innovate. So this is our innovation. So people will actually be able to pay, you know, these fungies to each other, just like the Hayek. It'll just represent, you know, just the stored insurance part of the cost of the Hayek. So, and not actually the gold itself.
So now, Anthem, let's talk a little bit about actually the metal itself. Obviously, been under pressure, gold and silver. I mean, silver is really, and interesting enough, silver has been really pounded. And, you know, silver is a metal that's used, and it's kind of confusing that they continue to pound it. But when you go out to try to actually buy the physical, it's hard to buy it. So it's amazing that we're priced at such low levels. What do you think? What are you seeing in gold and silver here now? What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point, because I think I just read that, you know, silver eagles, I think, were up over 50% in 15, the sales of them. And you know, it's a kind of a bifurcation or a tale of two markets, where you have this huge commercial paper physical COMEX led, GLD ETF led markets, and then you have the physical, you know, especially on the retail side, a huge clamoring for, you know, retail smaller denominations, 100 ounce, 10 ounce, 1 ounce of silver. And we see it, very clearly, you know, having to constantly buy. I mean, there's definitely, a lot more premium when you go up or go down, in terms of the weight of the metal. So, I think it's a symptom largely of the credit risk and, you know, this some major issues there. I think that there, you know, could possibly be, some trading going on by some of the bullion banks too, is causing a lot of the issue in terms of the price issue, if you call it an issue, I guess, being down in U.S. dollar terms. So, I know COMEX is something that the registered and deliverable, metal available there. I mean, gold has been, it's very highly levered in terms of the amount of gold actually deliverable, in COMEX. And, I think silver, it's a little difficult to say, because, you know, even though the registered amount is a decent number, it's not, it's difficult to say in terms of how much actual leverage is out there in the market on silver on top of that physical that the bullion banks are holding. So silver is very cheap, I think, here. I mean, could it go a little lower in dollar terms? It could, depending on how nasty the credit contraction is. You've seen gold go up 4% since the beginning of the year in dollar terms, and that's with tremendous dollar strength relative to other national currencies. I mean, that's the trend to be on the watch for. I mean, I think the easy plays, relatively speaking, are, shorting, especially non-blue chip stocks. I think that they're, emerging markets, anywhere where there could be potential for more capital controls. I think those are dangerous, but, if you can find an ETF or something to get into, I think emerging market currencies in general, over the next year, and we've seen big hits already. I think as long as the Fed continues to indicate that it wants to increase interest rates, there's going to be a lot of dollar strength and a lot of global debt defaults that are mostly denominated in dollars. So the net effect of that is people have to buy more dollars in order to pay their debt, and they cash in their currency, which is devaluing. And they're also receiving money, typically income, or if it's a government, right, tax proceeds, in the form of their own national currency, where they're accounting in their own unit of account, national currency. And so that's going down. So it creates this huge downward spiral that we're witnessing right now. I mean, that's why I was kind of shocked, frankly, that the Fed indicated that it was going to raise rates. I mean, it nothing to do in terms of health or, unhealth of the economy. It's really more you know, the health of the banking system, because quite frankly, that's how the Fed has been acting ever since the bailouts of 2008. It's basically been what's going to be in the best interest of the banks. And, so that's why I'm a little surprised they would introduce that level of credit risk.
I want to talk about that in the next segment, but I want to ask you this, Anthem. You know, there's obviously the paper gold, the paper ETFs, and there are rumors and talk that there's really not enough gold to support all the gold trading in those paper ETFs. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's a really dangerous situation. I think that there's potentially a lot of truth to that. If assuming that there's a loss in confidence of COMEX on COMEX and people take deliverable gold. I've heard through the grapevine, you know, things like, really respected friends that are in big financial services companies that specialize in gold for, you know, ultra high net worth individuals or family offices, and, you know, saying things like, taking a couple weeks to actually have, you know, larger commercial gold contracts settle physical, you know, dealings between, you know, large commercial entities. So, that was the first time this gentleman had ever seen that. And in this one particular case, Matt, talking with someone, and, you know, he's been in the industry for decades. And so, I mean, it's kind of unheard of to hear that there's, you know, any kind of issue when you're talking about 400 ounce bars, but that's where we're at. So I think there is a lot of truth to that. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons. I mean, gold is, maybe it goes down, I don't know, 10% or so in dollar terms, or 15%, 20%, maybe even more. I would be very surprised if it was that much lower, 20%, but it's possible. But at the end of the day, if you look at how much the stock markets have risen, you know, how much real estate has risen, you look at, you know, the investment complex. And I mean, you know, I guess you could argue energy, but the dynamics in energy, I think, you know, really, really got hit hard by all of this debt creation and ultimately artificially low interest rates. So, I mean, we've had artificially low interest rates in 2008, and, you know, that ultimately, I think can be a huge issue for a while. I mean, you see, I'm in Houston right now, and, you know, all people can talk about is, you know, the energy price. I think we're going lower from here in front of oil.
Yeah. So it's, I agree with you, Anthem. And I think that you bring up some great points, and that's why we love Anthem Blanchard right here on the Bubba Show, anthemvault.com. As you know, I believe in everybody should have some ownership in gold as a part of your portfolio. You know, it's a business model that, you know, when you build a portfolio, you should have A, your portfolio hedged, and B, you should have some exposure to hard assets such as gold and silver. And of course, my man Anthem takes care of all that, and he's got the greatest system. You got to check him out at anthemvault.com. This is the Bubba Show. We are with Anthem Blanchard from anthemvault.com, and we love having him on. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Fed and their, what they've done and what's going on there. So this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. If you miss an episode, catch it at libertytalk.fm on demand. The Bubba Show will be right back after the break.
10 miles from town. After 10,000 beers in 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Anthem Blanchard from Anthem Vault in Houston, although his business is in Vegas, but he's got big stuff going on in Houston. Okay, Anthem, here we are. I say the Fed is nuts. I say that they're a Ponzi scheme. I say that they're not doing what they were intended to do. And not only that, but the rest of the central banks around the world have chimed in and become part of that Ponzi scheme. And we saw part of the failure of it through the last weeks of equity trading, where the markets are getting smashed and China set a record, could only be open for 29 minutes. What you say?
Hey, it's ugly in China. I mean, you're looking at massive intervention. And I mean, I think I read on Zero Hedge that it was over $1 trillion of wipeout this year in the Chinese market. I mean, the Shanghai Index is down 10%. So, I mean, it was around 3,500, I believe, 3,600, now down to about 3,200. And so, I mean, it's a very, very big drop, and that's what I can't even imagine how much intervention the Chinese government has tried to, you know, go in and create yuan to actually prop up the markets. But it's pretty incredible. So I mean, I think that there's more carnage. I think the real issue that China is facing is twofold. It's a way over, extension of debt, and that happened globally as a result of artificially low interest rates, which were instigated by the Federal Reserve and propagated globally. And, you know, that's one. And then the other issue is a lack of liquidity for the yuan, which caused the majority of the debt to ultimately be denominated in dollars or U.S. dollars. So because of the lack of liquidity globally of the yuan. And so, again, you have an issue where, you know, we all know that printing currency and enabling banks to print currency, which is what's been the case to the tune of trillions of dollars for the last 8 years, doesn't create prosperity. It just basically takes future value and brings it to the present and really invites all kinds of speculation. So you have this case where you have, now the economy is struggling, relatively speaking, and you have all of this debt. And the debt is, you're hitting debt covenants, debt's going bad. And so you have a devaluing Chinese currency because at the end of the day, you have people have to sell their yuan in China in order to buy dollars in order to service their debt or to, you know, to be able to hit debt covenants that require payment. So I think that's the cycle that we're witnessing. I think it's going to get even further exacerbated by the energy complex in the U.S., globally as well, the billions of dollars that have gone into oil, energy production, extraction, exploration, all of it. That again, ultimately, the majority of which is denominated in U.S. dollars. So it's just going to create a lot of demand for U.S. dollars, and ultimately, really, there are very few actual U.S. dollars relative to all of the bank created dollars in the forms of loans. So that's the other issue. So you have this huge scramble for a very little amount of currency. I mean, it's very perverse, Bubba, because I mean, really then the argument is, well, the Federal Reserve needs to create more dollars because there's such a lack of actual dollars that they have in order to service the debt. And then here we are again. The question I think will become is, will the Fed actually let the banking system, eat losses? And I think that's going to be a big question. It hasn't happened so far. I mean, there's a lot of people speculating that to happen, but I think ultimately it should happen. I think bail-in should happen. I think the problem we have now is, basically the government and the Fed didn't allow for bail-ins to happen last time around or defaults to happen last time around, and so people don't really perceive credit risk. They don't really perceive the fact that their deposits in a bank could be frozen, or parts of them could be frozen, like what's happened in other countries that have currency issues. So people just think that it can't happen in the U.S., that it can't happen in developed countries, and that they're immune from it. But that's, I think, wishful thinking. So it's just, once you see the balance sheets of the Fed, it's very difficult.
Why? Because their leverage
are for the banks, but
because their leverage at 77-1. Listen, there's one thing about the Fed: as long as they have paper and ink, they'll keep trying to print money and print their way out of debt. But I do want to. This is very important. I wanted to get to this before we run out of time. Okay, we know Ron Paul wants to end the Fed or audit the Fed, and I'm a believer that there needs to be some sort of regulatory body that kind of watches things. Like the one, my fear, like in a Bitcoin, is there's nobody watching it, right? And I don't want government involved. But there's somehow we have to have some regulatory body. But the regulatory body we have now is a phony bunch of crooks, in my opinion, that, the Fed is just, it's made up of banks. JP Morgan probably owns part of the Fed, I think, and, the other banks. So they're really just a big banking system for the banks. But do you agree that we need some sort of regulatory body, but it needs to be run better? Or do you think there should be no regulatory body? What is your state on the end the Fed, audit the Fed, or some other regulatory body?
Well, I mean, I think the regulatory body, unfortunately, is going to be a bit of a fool's errand if there is a regulatory body, because I mean, most of the other regulatory bodies, unfortunately, have ended up proving out, you know, I don't think this was intentional, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And you have regulatory bodies that basically serve as a Department of Energy, that serve as, you know, proxy arms for the industry, the energy, you know, corporations, major corporations. And so, you know, just like you pointed out with the Federal Reserve, I mean, ultimately, the reason the Federal Reserve was put into place and advocated so hard on Jekyll Island is that, you know, it ultimately was supposed to be, it was pitched as a debilitating force. So that way, the panic that happened at the turn of the century wouldn't happen again in 1907, and that was how it was pitched. So I think ultimately having a central bank is a fool's errand. I mean, ultimately, I mean, that my middle namesake, Hayek, which we named the Hayek Gold after Frederick August Hayek, I mean, basically came to the same conclusion. And this was a man that spent decades of his life basically being a policy advocate for the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve. And then at the very end of his life, he basically said, this is crazy. He wrote a booklet called Choice in Currency and another one called The Nationalization of Money. And, you know, basically makes the case that anytime you have central banking, even if it starts as a gold standard, like the U.S. dollar did, of course, that it always ends in a fractional reserve central banking system that eventually implodes and has a complete loss of confidence, which we call hyperinflation. So, you know, that I think is the fool's errand. This country, the U.S., started without a central bank. You know, it defined that gold and silver was the only legal tender to be coined by the states. But it didn't actually designate a legal tender per se, you know, for, you know, to be used as script federally to pay taxes and court bills like our current dollar is, the Federal Reserve note. I mean, if you look on that Federal Reserve note, you'll see those words on there. So legal tender, you know, pay debts. So that creates artificial demand. And it's the most insidious form of theft on the planet, in my belief, because it's such a tiny sleight of hand that none of us even perceive, because it just gets washed right into our currency. And it happens in such a slow pace, at least in the beginning, until things get out of hand and prices go through the roof really quickly. It's a very insidious form of theft. So that's why we're big advocates for, you know, getting rid of the government monopoly on money. You know, we think that government, like pretty much all business, should be out of the business of creating money. You know, they can create bonds, they can issue taxes if they want to, or tariffs. I mean, there's plenty of ways that governments can raise money. But and the fact of the matter is that they've been horrible stewards of money. They promise all of these liabilities that are unfunded, that just to get elected, that are completely irresponsible, it's fraud, basically, to promise yields that are impossible to promise. And ultimately, we see the folly. So why would we repeat the same thing over and over again? And this isn't the first time. This is, you know, hundreds of times now that governments have been in charge and failed in terms of, you know,
end it right there. The government was in charge and failed. This is my man, Anthem Blanchard, AnthemVault.com. Check out his website. Check out his business. He's the man. He's my friend. Anthem, thank you so much for being here.
A pleasure, Todd. Thank you, Bubba. My pleasure being on the show. Thank you for having me.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We spent the day with our friend Anthem Blanchard and gave us a lot of great information for all you out there. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Good night, everybody.
It's late September and I really should be.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.